Well, Doc, it was quite something. It was really interesting, I have to say. I could not tell that you were outside when you recorded this. I'm going to try to encourage you to just stay with the Voice Memos app on your iPhone. The reason why is it's the same reason that I'm going to, we're going to try to create a groove here that just sort of makes it extremely easy for Doc's ideas to flow out onto the web, right? And it's going to go into a place where I've written all the code. So there is nothing in the way of making improvements. I don't have to try to get Google to do anything or get Twitter to do anything or add an API or, you know, whatever. Because each of these systems has their, you know, their quirks. And there is very little communication between developers. It's really something that, you know, we're having this little, I don't know what it is yet. I hope it's a design discussion, a productive design discussion about how to handle podcasts that don't have titles. This is the same issue that happened with Google Reader and all of the things that basically copied Google Reader. It was a catastrophe for the blogging world, and I don't think people really appreciate that yet. But as somebody that was in the middle of that whole thing and being pulled apart by it, I can tell you that, you know, giving into them was the worst thing I ever did. You know, it started basically the decline of scripting news as a thing that works for me. And that's the reason I do it. I don't do it to be influential, although I really like being influential. I love being listened to, but I do it. I write here because it's a way, I'm a writer, and that's how I process things. And so there's so many things. You know, it's you rambled and you talked slowly, but the way it is with you, Doc, is that even when you do that, I have a billion things that I feel like I need to want to sort of another point of view on these things. You know, we're both Knicks fans, right? And the Knicks are actually this year a really interesting team. And so but the thing that you're saying is that when you believe that you can make the shot, your chances of making the shot go up tremendously. It's of course true of everything in life. You know, if one of the things Living Video Text, for people who are listening, it's my first company. Doc is, of course, fully aware of that. I could not visualize failure. This was the big deal. I mean, at one point where the company was in, like, really, I was going to be laying off 25% of the company the next day. And I honestly didn't believe that was enough, that I didn't think, and neither did my board. And it was just like, talk about brinksmanship. And I remember closing up the office. I was very often the last person out of the office, and closing up the office and stopping there for a moment to think, when is the last time I'm going to do this? And what's it going to feel like? And what are the circumstances going to be? You know, in a way, it's like visualizing your death. You know, it's not as final, but to me, it felt that final because I couldn't envision continuing to live having been a failure. That was just, it was weird, and I know, whatever, but I couldn't do it. And so that, you know what, so I succeeded. So I never had to deal with that. One of the intuitions I had was, you're never going to remember that moment. It's just like, whatever, so much other shit's going to be going on while that's happening that you'll forget to stop and think and feel how it feels and be able to remember it. Because I actually have absolutely no recollection, because that was on Charleston Road. That was our Charleston Road office. And we moved out of there to the office on Easy Street. And while that was going on, while the move was going on, we were busy being acquired by Microsoft, if you can believe that. They had made an offer. We had accepted it. They were in the process of doing due diligence. We would have our meetings with them when they came down to California to meet with us. We would have them in the Easy Street office before the company was even in the Easy Street office, because it was a way for us to meet without setting off the alarms that eventually would, you know, once it leaked to the company that we were about to be acquired, you know, obviously all shit breaks loose. It's like amazing how many grudges started that day. But, you know, it's all good now. Everything, you know, is just so distant past. But, yeah, never, no memory of it. But that's, anyway, so Walt Frazier has a way of putting this. He says he's aiming his shot. And that's the same thing as saying he's not making any shots. It's kind of what you said, is your whole being is making this shot, and your whole being is making it. You know, it's like Steph Curry. How much thinking can he possibly do under the circumstances? You know, these great shooters, you watch them, and the subconscious is making the shot, you know. There's very little intellect going into it. It's all rote. It's all huge amounts of practice and the will to succeed. If your subconscious, you know, wants to succeed, it doesn't mean you're going to succeed, but it helps a lot, right? So anyway, so my plan here is to very slowly and carefully present you with tools. Very slowly and carefully. Because the last thing I want to do is give you yet another place to make you more scattered. That's just not what I want. On the other hand, when I hear you talk about how fluid Manila was, I think, well, you know, that was nothing compared to what I'm using right now. Nothing, nothing. And what I was using before Manila. Manila was about creating a tool that met everybody else's expectations for what a blog was. And, you know, I remember when I first got this, you know, that other people thought of these things differently from the way I did. It's the same argument I've been having with, you know, all the, you know, aggregators that, please, you need to understand titleless posts. It's not, you know, weird. It's real. Some posts just don't have titles. They don't have titles. So when you synthesize a title, you're going to destroy meaning. You're going to imply that there is some handle by which you can pick this thing up. Now, I'm going to give you a little bonus here for if anybody happens to be listening to this, because there is prior art on how to deal with this, and there's an answer that is just so obvious. It just tells me that these really smart people have not put any brain power into being clever. Just looking at the lay of the land the same way. You know, I don't know if Marco is a sports fan or not. I don't remember that he is. You know, I am. You are. And, you know, when you're planning out, when they're drawing up that play at the end of the game and it's like, you know, down to like 3 seconds on the clock and technically you can win the game and you got to design a play. It's the kind of preparation and thought that went into being the person that can do that. In that moment, these people study enormous amounts of data and prior art and what worked and what didn't, and they're thinking about the psychology of the other coach and, you know, how tired everybody is. So all these things go into the computation, and then they take their bet. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and most software development in this area, no thought goes into it. It's frustrating as hell. Anyway. Try taking the first 30 characters, 50 characters, 80 characters from the description, truncate it, and call that wherever you absolutely have to have a short piece of text that gets you sort of into the mood of the post. That's what you do. If you want some absolute prior art for this, I mocked this up for Twitter. When I was trying to sell them on the idea of fat tweets, I still want them to do fat tweets. I think if you do a search on scripting.com for exactly that string, fat tweet, if that doesn't get it, I'll put it in the show notes. It'll be on scripting.com. This is going to go out on the 14th, tomorrow. So if you look on the 14th, you should find a link to the thing about fat tweets. And so... You might even want to put a more icon at the end of it to imply that if you click this, you'll get the full description right there. But the idea of putting the date and time in place of where you would put a title, that's cheap. It isn't the title. I'm not being thoughtless when I don't put a title on it. I'm being the opposite. I'm being very thoughtful. Twitter, like I started to say before, is that it was Dale Doherty from O'Reilly, and he had bought a copy of Frontier. He was running Manila, and at that point, I don't think Manila had, the sort of standard blog post format. It was more like you edit your homepage, and then you flip the homepage the next day, and you edit your homepage, but it's all in a big text editor. It was sort of like a poor man's version of the Outliner that I had already was doing scripting.com with. I just know that people have resistance to Outliners, and because of that, the last thing I wanted to do was try to sell them an Outliner along with doing their blogging. And so he said, well, Dave, how about doing a post that's just the title, link, and description, and maybe some other data? And I'm thinking, yeah, well, he's thinking this is a database, and because that's how you approach these things in a database. And you know who was listening? the founders of Twitter were listening, those guys ponder, and that's what we need more of in the tech industry, is people to ponder, which means you don't jump at the first answer that pops in your head and then forget about it because you didn't know how to think about it. You learn how to think about it. You look to see what other people thought, that came before you. You ask questions like you give a shit about the answer. And you look for people who have experience with this and you ask them what to do, Anyway. So I always like to come out with, three-word slogans for what I'm doing, especially when I'm doing with somebody else, such as what we're doing here. By the way, sidebar, you fucking gotta watch Fargo. You said you liked Mrs. Maisel. That's boring shit. Fargo is like, it's the Coen brothers, man. It's 10 hours each season, and there are three seasons. There's about to be a fourth. I mean, it's so funny. I'm working my way through these things. Second time for two of them. I believe it's the third time for the first season. And even though I have a pretty good idea what's coming, it's like so funny. And yet, it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. I don't know if you like Quentin Tarantino. I do. It's like, Naked Jen told me she's listening to this stuff. So we have a thing between the two of us, like Itchy and Scratchy, that she's like Lisa Simpson, Miss Do-Good, Nerdy do-gooder type, Airy fairy, first fairy off the ferry. It's one of my little phrases for her. But she's like Lisa Simpson, who likes Itchy and Scratchy. That's what Fargo is. Fargo is like, you want fatalism with, because that's where all humor comes from. The source of all humor is, here's the truth. And the truth is, you suck. The truth is, you fucking don't matter, Anyway, so creating a groove and doing it slowly and carefully. And so what that means, Doc, is this, is that any time I give you a place to put your ideas, understand it's totally subject to your experimentation and, ask whatever questions you have. And if you don't like something, say you don't like it. And you don't have to, you're not committing anything to using any of these things. If it's not a good fit, don't fucking use it, okay? I want to find the right fit, okay? And that said, I'm going to give you a blogging tool that is, it really is a new idea for people. It really is a new idea. There really is a way to do this stuff that you haven't done yet. And nobody, except for a handful of people, have. And it's been one of the weirdest things about my entire career is that the very best things I've done nobody fucking uses. I feel like in some way, like Doug Engelbart must have felt, you know, where it's getting there, you know. I mean, Doug Engelbart had this whole pile of software that he carried around with him, you know, virtually. It's sort of like you talking about your hard drive, you know, multi-terabyte hard drive of all your photos. Well, he wasn't actually literally carrying the drive that had the source code on it, but he had to work on his code. He couldn't work with other people on their code. Same thing with Ted Nelson, too, which is too bad because I had the code base. It was a modern code base. It ran on all the platforms. And I had developers that worked with me that you know, loved working on this stuff. And, you know, could have teamed up and it might have been interesting. I'm not there yet because I actually did walk away from a huge code base and building another one, this time in JavaScript, because that's plugged into what everybody else is doing. And anyway, this will be different. And the promise that I'm going to make is that absolutely everything that you do is going to export in a format that can move to some other place. So I don't have to promise that I'm going to live forever and host your content forever. We're still leaving open the question of where this stuff goes. You know, the important thing about creating the groove is to get the ideas to come out of your head into a recorded place, which is something you're really good at. And the shame of it is we haven't gotten more of your humor and wisdom and, you know, whatever, the whole, Doc Searle shtick. We haven't got enough of it in a form that it stands a very, very much of any chance at all of surviving. And I have to say the same is true of me. I mean, as you pointed out in the first thing you did, this is actually something that I say is that the day that I die, the race is on when the servers crash, which, you know, these days they don't crash a whole lot. They might run for a few months without any trouble. The only thing is that who's going to pay the bills to keep, you know, Amazon and DigitalOcean happy? And who's going to pay, you know, Hover.com and Gandhi and all the other random little, you know, domain registrars that I've, you know, invested in? And I'm trying to get everything to coalesce as much as possible on scripting.com. I'll put that out there. Because that simplifies the job. And scripting.com certainly is the central place that I have. So, yes, one should be walking. This is the time of life. You're 8 years older than me, Doc. I'm 64, you're 72. I think I got that right. And, yeah, we're both looking a lot older, I have to say. I've seen pictures of you lately. Doc, your voice hasn't gotten any older, but, yeah, you know, whatever. Now, the same thing's here, too. There are a lot of things that I've kind of given up on, you know. Just like, I can't believe I ever worried about that, you know. It's like, because there are bigger things to deal with. But you have to start shedding things. You can't be what's the right word? You can't be ambivalent about it. You have to be decisive and you have to cut your losses on a lot of things now. And the story, I hate to end on this one because it's really fucking sad. But what the hell, you know, that's part of everything too. And I don't remember who I heard this from, but it was about a mutual friend of ours, David Bunnell. Dave died. He got pancreatic cancer. And he went quickly. It was like a period of a couple of months between diagnosis and him passing away. And I heard about that he was like all verklempt because there were all these projects he was working on. And he was going, how the hell, I'm never going to get to finish any of these things. And, you know, his friend who I heard tell the story, and I don't remember who this was that told the story, didn't, you know, try to sugarcoat anything and say, oh, yeah, no problem, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, Yeah, then you just have to kind of trust the universe that it's going to take care of those things if they need to be taken care of. Which was a beautiful answer, because whether you have a month or 6 years, that was my grandmother said that to me a few weeks before she died. I visited her in the hospital, and she had heart disease, and this was 1977, I'm going to guess. And in 1977, bypass surgery was absolutely in its infancy, and she got a bypass, and it didn't work. And she got sicker. But before she had the bypass, there was hope. And she said to me that all she wanted was another 6 years. And the way she said it, it sounded like she was asking me for it. And that's the way I interpreted it, because that's the thought that formed in my head. And I didn't say it. I didn't say anything, but I wanted to say to her, you know, I have no say in this. This isn't something I would like you to live for another 6 years. I'd like you to live for another 600 years. But I'm the wrong guy to talk to about this. And, you know, I'm now 2 years younger than she was when she died. So it gives you a little perspective. My family, not as long-lived as yours. In fact, we tend to die pretty young, I have to say. I dodged a bullet, of course, when I was 47. And that bullet hit a lot of people in my family, either before they had a treatment for it or because they just really were in denial on health issues and whatever it was. You know, I totally feel the pressure, and I would really like to do something about this. This is so, anyway, so actually I have a better thing to finish on. The thing that I've noticed just in like this, this will be the fourth back and forth. The first, you did the first one, I did the second one, you did the third, I'm doing the fourth. This is just the fourth. But this is so much more powerful than either of us doing this on our own. You take our two voices and put them together, and I think they like square each other. I think that's what happens. I think it's interesting, the intersection of intellectual interest. And there is actually, to anybody else that's listening, there's a lot more than we've ever talked about in terms of shared interest. And I'm not sure how much of it we'll get to or when or whatever, but our paths actually crossed in quite a few ways over many, many years. In any case, the thing to do, create a groove. Create a groove. If it doesn't create a groove, I'm not doing it. If it creates a groove, maybe. Okay, so that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing this, Doc. This is great. I love it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.